You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
My name is Dan, and I am one of the pastors at True North Church, and I have the privilege of sharing the word today. But first, I want to share a praise report. Pastor Mark sent something to the staff this morning that I think is really exciting. You know, we promote a date night that we're going to have for our engaged and married couples because we believe in marriage. We believe that it is ordained of God, and that is the family structure that He put in place. So we want to move in the direction of zero divorces in our community. That would be the ideal, right? Well, Pastor Mark shared a thing looking at the vital statistics for this region from 2019 compared to 2020. And the divorce rate in this region went down from 2019 to 2020. So we're moving in the right direction. Can we celebrate that? That's what we want to see. If we value marriage, we want to invest in marriages. If we value life, we want to invest in people so that we don't see suicide rates increase. We want to see them go back down to zero where they belong. So we want to continue moving in that. This service, we actually have the opportunity to live stream to people watching online, to the prison system throughout the state of Alaska. Let's welcome the people with a round of applause there. Glad to have our online audience with us as well. Well, we are in the middle of a series that we call First. Say First. First. All right, we're all awake this morning. This is our opportunity to really establish the ground rules of what our year is going to look like, to make sure that we're moving forward in what God has for us, not just saying, well, these are the things I want to do. It's saying, God, what do you want me to do? And last week, we put some things in place. We talked about order matters. We talked about putting the right things in first. We talked about those big rocks. And we had the jars here, the small rocks and the big rocks. And if we start with those big rocks, then we know that they have room. They have space. And we can pile other things on top of them. But we know we got those things done first. And I was telling my younger son about this. He's like, Dad, you missed an opportunity. Like, that was your perfect opportunity. Throw some rock puns in there. So just for him, these are to help you remember what last week was all about. We focus on the big rocks to help us be bolder in our faith so that we don't take our walk with God for granted. Okay? If you didn't groan on that one, then you weren't paying attention. Those are for my son. But we want to focus on those things because it's true. If we don't make room for the big rocks first, we may run out of room for them at the end. And we all know we don't want to try to be jamming in the things that matter at the very end. We want to make sure those things are done, prioritized, and emphasized. And this series, we're basing it off of Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, which reads this: teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. So wisdom is not just about what's going on in our mind. It's not about how we think. It's the action that follows what we think. We talked last week about how the distance between the truth that we know and the truth that we live defines the pain that we experience. The closer those two things are, the truth that we know and the truth that we live, the less pain we're going to experience in life. So we want our truth that we know to be the truth that we live. We want to be deep in God's word so that we know who He's called us to be and how He wants us to move forward. And we talked about numbering our days, but it's not about counting down. It's about every day mattering, maximizing every single thing that God gives us so that we are living a life that honors God. And we're going to talk a little bit about time today. And Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 is talking about how we choose to live our lives. How do we focus? How do we prioritize? And it says, be very careful then. How many of you know when the apostle says be careful, you should probably pay attention? Yeah. Be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So there's foolishness, but the opposite of that is knowing the Lord's will. If I know the Lord's will, then I can move in the direction away from foolishness, toward wisdom. That's the direction I want to be moving in. And it says the days are evil, and that doesn't mean you wake up every morning, you fear waking up wondering what's going on out there, although if you're like me, your back reminds you the days are evil every morning, right? We all experience those opportunities for the day to be evil, but we also we have to opportunize our day into something that maximizes what God gives us. We have to look at what God has given us and saying, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to move forward in this? So as we talk about time, we have to understand some things. So I have some truths about time. And number one, the first truth about time is our most valuable asset. Our most valuable asset is time. And it's odd to call it an asset because for a lot of us, assets are things we earn or things that are a return on investment. But that's not what this is. Because I can't earn more time. I can't pay somebody and say, hey, you're not using those 4 hours. Can I buy them off of you? I have 24 hours in a day. Everyone has 24 hours in a day. It is actually one of the most equalizing assets we have on this earth because it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire or you're living in poverty. It doesn't matter if you're living in Chicago, Fairbanks, or South Africa. All of us has 24 hours. Every single one of us has the exact same access to the exact same resource. The only difference is how do we utilize those 24 hours to grow in our walk with God? How do we maximize that time? How do we move forward in what God has for us? And, you know, time is this interesting thing, and it gets stuck in our minds because we can't grasp it, so we try to wrap our mind around it. And it's actually one of the more popular science fiction tropes out there. And I love science fiction. You walk in my office, you'll see Star Wars Pez dispensers all over the place because I love sci-fi. And sci-fi focuses on time, specifically time travel, in a lot of different things. It could be Doctor Who or Star Trek or Quantum Leap if you're a child of the 80s. I heard they're rebooting it. I don't even know. They reboot everything else, right? Or if you're into movies, maybe you're like Back to the Future or Terminator, or if you're like me, Avengers Endgame. Big time travel movies, right? They're central to the plot. And why do we get so locked into these ideas of time travel? Why are we so interested in it? Why do we love these movies enough that they keep making more of them? Well, it's pretty simple, because you can watch the Doctor go back to the explosion of Pompeii and save a family. Or you could see Captain Picard go back 200 years in time and save the entire human race from enslavement by the Borg. Or you can watch Captain America go back in time and finally get his happy ending. But it's science fiction for a reason. Because when we make a mistake, we can't go back. We can't undo what has been done. We can't say, oh, that didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Let me just backtrack, undo, hit the rewind button. Real life doesn't have a rewind button. Which means that moving forward matters. What I do now matters. What I'm moving toward matters because I can't go back. I can't undo. I can't just say, oh, that didn't work out exactly the way I want. Guess I'll just change these two variables, go back in time 42 years and see what happens. No. Right. Our opportunities lie in our future, which means we have to establish our present well. Right. We have to understand that each day is limited. And again, we don't like to acknowledge it, but we all have an expiration date on the milk carton of our life. Right. We're all moving toward a deadline, which means that we have to evaluate what we're doing now. And it's so easy to get locked into where we are, what we're doing, but we have to remember we are not earthly beings having temporary spiritual experiences. We are eternal spiritual beings having temporary earthly experiences. Right. And if we don't walk with that mindset, we won't be moving forward toward God's best for us. We'll be missing out on the things that God wants to point out for us. So I have to recognize that time is an asset. I'm going to throw a quote at you. You know, we usually bring in like, you know, scripture or philosophers or great authors. I'm going to quote the great Tony Stark right here. No amount of money ever bought a second of time. Are you maximizing the time you have because it's all you get? Right. And moving toward God's best. How about number two? Truth number two, we cannot manage time, we can only manage opportunities. Right. We can't manage time. If you've ever taken a time management course or watched a YouTube video or been part of a Zoom seminar or whatever, I can tell you right now, they were lying to you. Right. You can't manage your time. You can manage yourself within that time. You can recognize what that time is, which is an asset to be utilized. Am I going to maximize what I've been given, or am I going to throw it away? Am I going to let it pass to the wayside? And we don't have as much as we want. We've all had those opportunities to say, oh man, I just ran out of time. No, you didn't run out of time. You just didn't leverage your opportunities. Right. You didn't maximize the time you were given. If it mattered that much, you make the time. If it mattered that much, you put it in the jar first. Right. And you put the other things on top of it. But I can tell you right now, if you made time for Call of Duty and you didn't make time for the Word of God, you probably didn't run out of time. You didn't maximize your time. We have to think about what we're doing with our time. We have to maximize and utilize it well because it is limited. So we don't manage our time. We manage ourselves within that time. Am I doing what it takes to move forward toward God's best for me with the time that I'm given? And number three, this is a hard one. It's 2022. People don't like to hear this, but this is truth number three. You cannot do everything. You cannot do everything. And as much as people on social media are like, I went to this place and I did this thing and I tried this food and all these things, like most of them are lying to you too. You ever watch the background photos? Like green screen's a powerful thing because they're not doing everything either. Right. Trying to do everything leads to a person who does nothing. Right. Because we burn out. Right. We have a bandwidth. We have a capacity. Has anybody ever tried streaming on four TVs all at once while two other people are playing video games online? Everything slows to a crawl. Why? Bandwidth. Yep. Too many things happening at once slows us down and eventually everything stops. Yep. We can't do it. I've had to learn that in ministry. There are things that I can't do because of some of the things that I am doing. And I came up with this term. You have to know your no. You have to K-N-O-W your N-O because we all have one. Every single one of us has limits. Every single one of us has a bandwidth. And if you continue to burn the candle without taking a break, it burns out. And you can't light it again. It becomes challenging. And we've had this happen in our family multiple times. We are active in the service of the church. And we just had an opportunity recently where my son was going through, wanted to join a club at school. Great opportunity, great club. And he went through the interview process, the application process, and he was accepted in. And on the other side of his acceptance, they gave him the packet that said, these are all the expectations. These are all the things you have to do to be a part of this group. And we looked at it, it's like active fundraising, practices 6 days a week. You have to be available possibly at a moment's notice to travel out of state. And we looked at it, we're like, but it's a no. And it's a hard no, but it's a no. Not because we don't want you to have this opportunity, but because the fundraising for this means that we have to divert from our promises to church capacity. The time taken for this means we're taken away from our commitments at the church. And as hard as it is, he understood. He's like, oh, I get it. If I'd known the expectations before I started, I probably wouldn't have even asked. Not because it didn't seem enjoyable, not because it didn't seem like a good opportunity, but because our bandwidth didn't allow for it. Yep. So we have to be aware of those things. We have to know where our no is. Because yep. We don't want to be burned out Christians. We don't want people to look at us and say, man, why would I want to be a Christian? They have nothing left. They're always exhausted. They're always tired. They have nothing to offer. We don't want to be those Christians. We want to be people who have life left for other people. Truth number four. There is cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. In short, it's better to practice than to cram. How many of you guys loved school? There are some teachers and administrators in the building. They love school, right? I was not a studier. Not until I met my wife and she held me accountable. I was barely a crammer. I'd see it once, call it good, and move on with it. And eventually that stopped working. But you can always tell the kids that are going to be effective and going to learn things for the long term. Are you learning for the test or are you learning to learn? The students I had in my math class, the ones that I knew were going to succeed, they took the notes. They asked the questions. They did the practice. They asked questions about the practice. They took the practice test. They made sure they understood the questions that were going to be on the test. So by the time they took the test, they'd seen it 5 or 6 times. Or there's the kids that are the crammers. They're like, no, I don't want to invest the time now. I'll get it later. And they push it aside. And then the day before the test, they're like, oh no. Anybody ever been an oh no student? The test is tomorrow. You've known that for 2 weeks. Stop it. Oh no students, they take the practice test. They're like, I've never seen this before. Or even worse, they get the practice test, they set it aside, and then they come in the test the next day. They're like, I've never seen this before. We don't want to be Christians who've never seen this before. Little bit over little bit over little bit over little bit. There's ancient proverb that says, journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Laws of thermodynamics, an object at rest tends to stay at rest. An object in motion tends to stay in motion, which means if we want to move forward in our walk with God, what do we have to do? We have to move forward. Are we missing out on what God wants for us because we're too busy standing still waiting for him to tell us what step to take when all he's wanting us to do is move? Right. We have to be willing to take those steps. Maybe we don't know where the final destination is, but we can't arrive anywhere if we're standing still. Right. There's an author, Malcolm Gladwell. He wrote a book a number of years ago called Outliers, and he talked about what's called the 10,000 hour rule. The 10,000 hour rule says if you want to be great at something, not to learn a skill, not to be pretty okay at a skill, but to be the best of the best, it takes over 10,000 hours committed practice to just that one thing. Highest level of chess master in the world is grandmaster. Every single person who has achieved that status has played at least 14,000 hours of chess. If you want to be a great pitcher, you pitch 10,000 hours. You want to be a great quarterback? You throw the ball, perfect spiral, 10,000 times. My baseball manager, when I played baseball back in middle school and high school, he said, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. If we're not doing it right in our practice, then when the time comes that we're held accountable for it, we're not going to be performing the way we're expected to either. Right. Perfect practice makes perfect. You know, Malcolm Gladwell wrote this in the New Yorker a few years ago. The 10,000 hour research reminds us that the closer psychologists look at the careers of the gifted, the smaller the role innate talent seems to play and the bigger the role preparation seems to play. We can look at people in business, we can look at people in finance, we can look at people in athletics and be like, man, they had so much raw talent. Where did they go wrong? Well, they didn't practice it. You come at 18 years old and you think you've got everything all figured out, but you don't take the time to learn the playbook. You don't take the time to learn the skills to increase and improve. Then eventually you standing still, other people are going to pass you. God can still use you, but he can use you to a greater capacity if you're moving forward in his word, if you're moving forward in his will, if you're moving forward, understanding that there is more ahead of you than behind you. We don't want to be Christians who stand still. And Pastor Mark says it all the time. You sit in the pew too long, you get pewy. Yep. We start to stink when we stand still. And the opposite is also true. If we neglect taking those little steps, I'm going to go to the gym every day. That has a positive impact. I'm never going to the gym. Day by day by day, I'm making the decision not to go to the gym, not to exercise, not to take care of my physical well-being. How many of us know there are consequences to that too? Little bits of impact have long-term impact. Little bits of neglect have long-term consequences. Yep. What are we going to do? What steps are we going to take? How are we going to move forward? Because if we truly want to become the best versions of ourselves, we have to take the time that we're given and maximize it so that we're moving forward in the kingdom of God. Right. And the fifth truth, we have to decide what is important, and then we have to manage that decision daily. Say daily. Daily. How many of us love New Year's resolutions? I don't set New Year's resolutions. I don't set New Year's resolutions because I don't like to fail. Do you know that most people by January 30th have already blown their New Year's resolution? You know what the worst part about that is? They're going to wait another 335 days to set another one. Well, I already blew that one. Guess I'll just wait until January 1 next year. There are 11 more months left. Are you telling me the entire year is a failure because you failed the first month? No, shrink it. If I set a daily resolution and I come up short, guess what? Another day tomorrow. And I can start again. And I can move forward again. And I can have positive impact on what I'm doing. I don't want to make a yearly resolution come up short and have to wait 11 months to do it again. Daily resolutions, consistently looking at what I'm doing with my time, consistently looking at how I'm moving forward and saying, God, I want to do what's best. God, I want your best for my life. God, I want to take what I'm given and maximize it. And if I come up short, I don't want to wallow in the fact that I messed up, that I came up short, that I didn't get enough done, that I misprioritized things. I want to say, okay, new day, new priorities, new resolutions. I want to consistently identify what is important and consistently decide how to move forward toward these priorities. Every day becomes a new opportunity to move forward, every opportunity to grow, to do better. Do I want to be better? Do I want to do better? It's not going to happen if I'm standing still. Every day, daily resolutions, daily determinations that what I can do for God matters more than what I didn't get done for God yesterday. I want to move forward. So if we all have these same 24 hours, we all have these things that are priorities, that are the big rocks that we have to put in first, how do I identify what those things are? How do I know what I have to put on my calendar in Sharpie, not pencil? How do I know what I have to prioritize first? So that I don't have to make time for it later. Well, I've got three must-haves based on what God tells us, based on what Scripture tells us, are the important things. And the first thing we have to make time for is, number one, we have to make time for renewal. Yep. We have to make time for renewal. How many of you guys like having a clean house? I love having a clean house. Here's a different question. How many of you like cleaning your house? No. I mean, I love the smell of Pine Sol and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to have to do it. I love having clean clothes. I love having the dishes done. I love that there's not shredded cardboard all over my living room because my dog really loves cardboard. I love it when it's done, but I don't like doing it. But we have to understand that there is a process to having something become new or renewed. When my life group comes in a couple of weeks, I don't want to clean up the last, you know, between November and February's worth of mess because I didn't do anything in the meantime to keep my house clean. Darn, I have 4 months worth of stuff that I got to clean up here. No, I want to daily renew my house so that it's not a giant chore, a giant task. Renewal is important because when things aren't renewed, they start to stink. How many of us know if we don't take care of our laundry for a while or if we don't take care of the sink for a while, there are impacts to our household? Yep. We start to experience negative consequences because things are sitting around that shouldn't be. Yep. We don't want to leave things to deal with later. We want to deal with things now. 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Day by day. I'm not waiting for the right opportunity to grow, to come along. I'm moving forward every single opportunity. A new 24 hours, new opportunity to move forward. Because we all love that fresh start. But we live in a culture that doesn't value renewal. We keep doing the same thing the same way over and over. We actually live in a very unhealthy society when it comes to that kind of thing. Because we all know people who brag about things that aren't really worth bragging about. I haven't taken a vacation day in 5 years. That's gross. I love vacations. You know what we don't have here? Beaches. I love the beach. Went to Hawaii last year. I can't wait to go back. Because it's good to experience rest. It's good to be someplace else. How about people, I never take sick leave. Ew. Not only does that negatively impact you, it negatively impacts your employer because you're not as effective, and it negatively impacts all the people you're now getting sick who might take their sick leave. Don't put yourself in a position where you're bragging about things that we should make priorities. Right. Rest is a priority. We've heard the word Sabbath before. Sabbath is not about coming and worshiping. That's different. Sabbath is about rest. God, after 6 days of working, creating the universe, light, darkness, animals, mountains, stars, all of those different things, on the seventh day, he said, man, this is good. And then he took a nap. Hallelujah. I can respect that. I did some hard stuff. I'm going to take a nap. I'll come back to it later. God established the Sabbath as a standard, as a pattern. You know, the thing is that we commonly view Sunday, our time in church and that opportunity, we view that as our Sabbath. It's not our Sabbath. Our Sabbath is supposed to be a day of rest so that Sunday becomes the onset of renewal. When I walk into church, I have rested, so this becomes the filling of my tank that I then take beyond these walls and out into the world. But if I'm not rested, by the time I get here, I'm already exhausted. And then I'm sitting here talking to this guy, talking about time, and all I can see is how much time is going by. No, that's not what this is about. I come in rested to become renewed, to take it out into the world and restore the kingdom. Right. That's who we're supposed to be. You know, Mark 2:27, it says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's not supposed to be a religious thing. It's a gift. Right. It's in the Ten Commandments. But we'll say, thou shalt not murder. Yep, that's a good one. Thou shalt not steal. That's a good one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yep, that's a good one. Thou shalt respect the Sabbath and take a break. I don't know if I have time for that. It made the top 10 list. We should probably look at that. We should probably emphasize those things that God emphasized. If he said rest, then we have to take that rest. Again, we don't want to move toward burnout. If we're supposed to be a light in the darkness, can't be a light in the darkness if you're burned out. We don't Sabbath because we are tired. We Sabbath to prevent becoming tired. Number two, we have to make time for reward. That's where all the people are like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Bring on the reward. I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. The things that we value are asphalt in heaven. Think about that. The streets are paved with gold. Why are we so concerned with things of monetary value in this world? When God's like, that's going to be under your feet. People are going to be walking on that. If that's what we value, then we're misguided. Because we should be looking at things that have eternal value. You know, Solomon, he wrote the book of Proverbs, one of the wisest people in all human history. And you look at the book of Proverbs and there's great advice and great input. But he also is credited with writing the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you base your life on the book of Ecclesiastes, you're probably not going to be a very joyful Christian. Because this is how Solomon writes it. Ecclesiastes 1:14, I've seen all the things done under the sun and all of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. On that, oh, God bless you, have a great week. No, that's not encouraging or uplifting. Everything we do is meaningless? Yeah, because we're striving for the wrong thing. Right. We're running after the wrong thing. We're missing out on God's best because we're focused on what we think has values. But if we want treasure that matches our identity, remembering we are not earthly beings having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual, eternal beings having temporary earthly experiences. So how do I move toward eternal spiritual rewards while I'm here? Well, I have to recognize what does have eternal value. What can I do now that will have impact for eternity? And Paul told Timothy, Chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. He's talking about how we interact with other people. He's talking about what we do for others. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Not now, but then. Right. That eternal reward is coming because of what we do now, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This is not our life. This is our moment. And our moment leads to eternal life or eternal separation from God. Right. The decisions we make now have eternal impact. The investments we make now have eternal impact. There is not a single thing on this earth that we can take with us into eternity. We can't take our money. We can't take our cars. We can't take our homes. We can't take our retirement account. We can't take our expertise and our experience. There's one thing this side of eternity that will follow us into heaven. Other people. Right. Other people are the only thing that we can invest in that will follow us into eternity. So number three, we have to make time for relationships. Yep. We have to make time for other people. We can't live in a bubble trying to isolate ourselves from things. You know, you saw 2020 COVID everywhere. And what were people striving for? They just wanted to be connected. They just wanted to be close to other people. You'd have people singing from their balconies in Italy, or they'd have Zoom birthday parties or whatever, just because you wanted to share a moment with somebody else. We don't do well on our own. First correction, quote unquote, that God made to creation was, it is not good that man is alone. And we often ascribe that just to marriage, but I don't think it just applies to marriage. It applies to community. It applies to togetherness. It applies to family. We want to be part of something bigger than just ourselves. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's a whole lot of people out there on Facebook saying, the end is nigh, the end is coming, the final days are here. Well, if that's true, why are we so disconnected from one another? It says as the day is approaching, we should be moving toward one another. We should be building in relationship with one another. We should be encouraging one another in greater ways. But we live in a disconnected culture. Scrolling through a Facebook page and seeing moments of people's lives is not being connected. Seeing pictures of people's dogs or their families or their vacations, that's not the same as calling them up on the phone and saying, how are you doing? It's not the same as scheduling a coffee date or intentionally having a conversation. Being connected requires intentionality. It requires focus. It requires purpose. And church has become this thing that we do instead of this thing that God does through us. You know, I'm not against online church. We have an online audience, and I'm grateful for them every week. We get God stories, we get prayer requests, and it's an amazing thing. But my prayer is that it doesn't stop there. Because if the only reason you're plugging in to a church on their podcast or online stream is so that you get good teaching, you're missing out on what the church really is about. And that's being together, growing together, living together, experiencing sorrow and grief together, mourning together, encouraging one another out of those moments. It's not good for man to be alone. We surround ourselves with other people. We join life groups. We join serve teams, not so that everybody else benefits, because we actually benefit as well. I'm going through a hard time. People lift me up. I'm going through an amazing season. I get to encourage other people through something that I've gone through. Relationships sustain us through things that are hard. We don't want to miss out on what God has for us now and in the future because we're so focused on protecting what we want to keep. None of us will keep it. Not a single one of us will keep a dime from this life. The only thing with eternal value is the relationships that we build now and the people we bring with us into the kingdom. I can't grow the kingdom personally. I can't tell everybody the truth about God, but I can engage with one person and build relationship. Most people who come to Jesus don't do it because of some giant revival service or some Billy Graham evangelical outreach. They do it through relationship. One-on-one conversations. The opportunity to be together. So that's where I want to put my time. Into things that have eternal value. I'll still be me in eternity. You'll still be you in eternity. We'll recognize one another. We'll be able to laugh. We'll be able to cry. We'll be able to enjoy eternity at the foot of the King together. That will be our greatest joy. So I want to end with this quote. I will put first things first and give focus and energy to the things that are eternal. I want my mind on the eternal. And it's hard to wrap our mind around the eternal because we're not eternal beings in our current selves, but we know we will be. And we'll either spend eternity with Jesus or eternity separated from him. And the decisions we make now determine our eternity. And if you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, to trust him with your life so that he can bestow upon you eternal life, I want you to know it's as easy as ABC. A, you have to admit you can't solve your own problem. You're not the answer. You have to admit that there is something missing inside of you. But B, you believe that He is the answer. That Jesus Christ came, died, rose again, conquered death so that you could have eternal life. And C, you have to confess. You have to confess Him as the Lord of your life. You have to confess that He can do a better job with your life than you can. And if you've never made that decision, I invite you to pray that with me right now. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord Jesus, thank You for the gift of time. And while we know it's limited, we want to maximize the time we're given to impact Your kingdom to the best of our abilities. And Lord, right now, I admit that I don't have all the answers. That as hard as I try, I'm always going to come up short. But I believe You came, You died, and rose again to bring me opportunity to enter into eternal life with You. So I confess You as my life leader. I give You everything. I give You my life because I know You'll do a better job with it than I ever could. Thank You for the opportunity to join with You, Lord, in Your name. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.